number 3. Labor to get your heart thoroughly disposed to go on and hold out to the end. Many that seem to be earnest have not a heart thus disposed. It is a common thing for persons to appear greatly affected for a little while, but all is soon passed away, and there is no more to be seen of it. Labor, therefore, to obtain a thorough willingness and preparation of spirit to continue seeking in the use of your utmost endeavors without limitation, and do not think your whole life too long. And in order to this, be advised in 2 things. Number 1. Remember that if ever God bestows mercy upon you, He will use His sovereign pleasure about the time when He will bestow it on some in a little time, and on others not till they have sought it long. If other persons are soon enlightened and comforted, while you remain long in darkness, there is no other way but for you to wait. God will act arbitrarily in this matter, and you cannot help it. You must even be content to wait in a way of laborious and earnest striving till His time comes. If you refuse, you will but undo yourself, and when you shall hereafter find yourself undone, and see that your case is past remedy, how will you condemn yourself for foregoing a great probability of salvation only because you had not patience to hold out, and was not willing to be at the trouble of a persevering labor? And what will it avail before God or your own conscience to say that you could not bear to be obliged to seek salvation so long, when God bestowed it on others that sought it but for a very short time? Though God may have bestowed the testimonies of His favor on others in a few days or hours after they have begun earnestly to seek it, how does that alter the cases to you if there proves to be a necessity of your laboriously seeking many years before you obtain them? Is salvation less worth taking a great deal of pains for because, through the sovereign pleasure of God, others have obtained it with comparatively little pains? If there are 2 persons, one of which has obtained converting grace with comparative ease, and another that has obtained it after continuing for many years in the greatest and most earnest labors after it, how little difference does it make at last when one's salvation is obtained? Put all the labor and pains, the long-continued difficulties and strugglings of the one in the scale against salvation, and how little does it subtract? And put the ease with which the other has obtained in the scale with salvation, and how little does it add? What is either added or subtracted is lighter than vanity, and a thing worthy of no consideration when compared with that infinite benefit that is obtained. Indeed, if you were 10,000 years, and all that time should strive and press forward with as great earnestness as ever a person did for 1 day, all this would bear no proportion to the importance of the benefit. And it will doubtless appear little to you when once you come to be in actual possession of eternal glory and to see what that eternal misery is in which you have escaped. You must not think much of your pains and of the length of time. You must press towards the kingdom of God and do your utmost and hold out to the end and learn to make no account of it when you have done. You must undertake the business of seeking salvation upon these terms, and with no other expectations than this, that if ever God bestows mercy, it will be in His own time, and not only so, but also that when you have done all, God will not hold Himself obliged to show you mercy at last. Number 2. Endeavor now thoroughly to weigh in your mind the difficulty and to count the cost of perseverance in seeking salvation. You that are now setting out in this business, as there are many here who have very lately set about it, praise be the name of God that He has stirred you up to it. Be exhorted to attend this direction. Do not undertake in this affair with any other thought but of giving yourself wholly to it for the remaining part of your life, and going through many and great difficulties in it. Take heed that you do not engage secretly upon this condition, that you shall obtain in a little time, promising yourself that it shall be within this present season of the pouring out of God's Spirit, or with any other limitation of time whatsoever. Many, when they begin, seeming to set out very earnestly, do not expect that they shall need to seek very long, and so do not prepare themselves for it. And therefore, when they come to find it otherwise and meet with unexpected difficulty, they are found unguarded and easily overthrown. But let me advise you all who are now seeking salvation not to entertain any self-flattering thoughts, but weigh the utmost difficulties of perseverance and be provided for them, having your mind fixed in it to go through them, let them be what they will. Consider now beforehand how tedious it would be with utmost earnestness and labor to strive after salvation for many years, and in the meantime receiving no joyful or comfortable evidence of your having obtained. Consider what a great temptation to discouragement there probably would be in it, how apt you would be to yield the case, how ready to think that it is in vain for you to seek any longer, and that God never intends to show you mercy, in that he has not yet done it. How apt you would be to think with yourself, "What an uncomfortable life do I live! How much more unpleasantly do I spend my time than others that do not perplex their minds about the things of another world, but are at ease and take the comfort of their worldly enjoyments." Consider what a temptation there would probably be in it if you saw others brought in that began to seek the kingdom of heaven long after you, rejoicing in the hope and sense of God's favor after but little pains and a short time of awakening, while you from day to day and from year to year seem to labor in vain. Prepare for such temptations now, lay in beforehand for such trials and difficulties, that you may not think any strange thing has happened when they come. I hope that those who have given attention to what has been said have by this time conceived in some measure what is signified by the expression in the text, and after what manner they ought to press into the kingdom of God. Here is this to induce you to a compliance with what you have been directed to. If you sit still, you die. If you go backward, behold, you shall surely die. If you go forward, you may live. And though God has not bound himself to any things that a person does while destitute of faith and out of Christ, yet there is a great probability that in a way of hearkening to this counsel you will live, and that by pressing onward and persevering you will at last, as it were by violence, take the kingdom of heaven. Those of you who have not only heard the directions given, but shall, through God's merciful assistance, practice according to them, are those that probably will overcome. These we may well hope at last to see standing with the Lamb on Mount Zion, clothed in white robes with palms in their hands, when all your labor and toil will be abundantly compensated, and you will not repent that you have taken so much pains and denied yourself so much and waited so long. This self-denial, this waiting, will then look little and vanish into nothing in your eyes, being all swallowed up in the first minute's enjoyment of that glory that you will then possess, and will uninterruptedly possess and enjoy to all eternity. Fourth direction. Improve the present season of the pouring out of the Spirit of God on this town. Prudence in any affair whatsoever consists very much in minding and improving our opportunities. If you would have spiritual prosperity, you must exercise prudence in the concerns of your souls, as well as in outward concerns when you seek outward prosperity. The prudent husbandman will observe his opportunities. He will improve seed time and harvest. He will make his advantage of the showers and shines of heaven. The prudent merchant will discern his opportunities. He will not be idle on a market day. He is careful not to let slip his seasons for enriching himself. So will those who prudently seek the fruits of righteousness and the merchandise of wisdom improve their opportunities for their eternal wealth and happiness. God is pleased at this time in a very remarkable manner to pour out His Spirit amongst us. Glory be to His name. You that have a mind to obtain converting grace and to go to heaven when you die, now is your season. Now, if you have any sort of prudence for your own salvation, and have not a mind to go to hell, improve this season. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You that in time past have been called upon, and have turned a deaf ear to God's voice, and long stood out and resisted His commands and counsels, hear God's voice today while it is called today. Do not harden your hearts at such a day as this. Now you have a special and remarkable prize put into your hands to get wisdom, if you have but a heart to improve it. God hath His certain days or appointed seasons of exercising both mercy and judgment. There are some remarkable times of wrath laid out by God for His awful visitation in the executions of His anger, which times are called days of vengeance, Proverbs 6:34. Wherein God will visit for sin, Exodus 32:34. And so, on the contrary, God has laid out in His sovereign counsels seasons of remarkable mercy, wherein He will manifest Himself in the exercises of His grace and loving kindness more than at other times. Such times in Scripture are called by way of eminency, accepted times and days of salvation, and also days of God's visitation, because they are days wherein God will visit in a way of mercy, as Luke 19:44, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. It is such a time now in this town. It is with us a day of God's gracious visitation. It is indeed a day of grace with us as long as we live in this world, in the enjoyment of the means of grace. But such a time as this is especially and in a distinguishing manner a day of grace. There is a door of mercy always standing open for sinners. But at such a day as this, God opens an extraordinary door. We are directed to seek the Lord while He may be found, and to call upon Him while He is near. Isaiah 55:6. If you that are hitherto Christless be not strangely besotted and infatuated, you will by all means improve such an opportunity as this to get heaven, when heaven is brought so near, when the fountain is opened in the midst of us in so extraordinary a manner. Now is the time to attain a supply of the necessities of your poor perishing souls. This is a day for sinners that have a mind to be converted before they die, when God is dealing forth so liberally and bountifully amongst us, when conversion and salvation work is going on amongst us from Sabbath to Sabbath, and many are pressing into the kingdom of God. Now do not stay behind, but press in amongst the rest. Others have been stirred up to be in good earnest and have taken heaven by violence, be entreated to follow their example if you would have a part of the inheritance with them and would not be left at the great day when they are taken. How should it move you to consider that you have this opportunity now in your hands? You are in the actual possession of it. If it were past, it would not be in your power to recover it, or in the power of any creature to bring it back for you. But it is not past. It is now, this day. Now is the accepted time, even while it is called today. Will you sit still at such a time? Will you sleep in such a harvest? Will you deal with the slack hand and stay behind out of mere sloth? or love to some lust, or loathness to grapple with some small difficulty, or to put yourself a little out of your way when so many are flowing to the goodness of the Lord, you are behind still, and so you will be in danger of being left behind when the whole number is completed that are to enter in, if you do not earnestly bestir yourself. To be left behind at the close of such a season as this will be awful, next to being left behind on that day when God's saints shall mount up as with wings to meet the Lord in the air, and will be what will appear very threatening of it. God is now calling you in an extraordinary manner. And it is agreeable to the will and word of Christ that I should now in His name call you as one set over you, and sent to you to that end. So it is His will that you should hearken to what I say as His voice. I therefore beseech you in Christ's stead now to press into the kingdom of God, whoever you are, whether young or old, small or great. If you are a great sinner, if you have been a backslider, if you have quenched the Spirit, be who you will, do not stand making objections, but arise, apply yourself to your work. Do what you have to do with your might. Christ is calling you before and holding forth His grace and everlasting benefits, and wrath is pursuing you behind. Wherefore, fly for your life and look not behind you. But here I would particularly direct myself to several sorts of persons. Section 1. To those sinners who are in a measure awakened and are concerned for their salvation, you have reason to be glad that you have such an opportunity and to prize it above gold. To induce you to prize and improve it, consider several things. Number 1. God has doubtless a design now to deal forth saving blessings to a number. God has done it to some already, and it is not probable that He has yet finished His work amongst us. We may well hope still to see others brought out of darkness into marvelous light. And therefore, number 2. God comes this day and knocks at many persons' doors, and at your door among the rest. God seems to come in a very unusual manner amongst us, upon a gracious and merciful design, a design of saving a number of poor, miserable souls out of a lost and perishing condition, and of bringing them into a happy state in eternal glory. This is offered to you. Not only as it has always been in the word and ordinances, but by the particular influences of the Spirit of Christ awakening you. This special offer is made to many amongst us, and you are not passed over. Christ has not forgot you, but has come to your door, and there, as it were, stands waiting for you to open to Him. If you have wisdom and discretion to discern your own advantage, you will know that now is your opportunity. Number 3. How much more easily converting grace is obtained at such a time than at other times. The work is equally easy with God at all times, but there is far less difficulty in the way as to men at such a time than at other times. It is, as I said before, a day of God's gracious visitation, a day that He has, as it were, set apart for the more liberally and bountifully dispensing of His grace, a day wherein God's hand is opened wide. Experience shows it. God seems to be more ready to help, to give proper convictions, to help against temptations and let in divine light. He seems to carry on His work with the more glorious discovery of His power, and Satan is more chained up than at other times. Those difficulties and temptations that persons before stuck at from year to year, they are soon helped over. The work of God is carried on with greater speed and swiftness, and there are often instances of sudden conversion at such a time. So it was in the apostles' days, when there was a time of the most extraordinary pouring out of the Spirit that ever was. How quick and sudden were conversions in those days! Such instances as that of the jailer abounded then in fulfillment of that prophecy. Isaiah 66:7-8. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. So it is in some degree whenever there is an extraordinary pouring out of the Spirit of God, more or less so, in proportion to the greatness of that effusion. There is seldom such quick work made of it at other times. Persons are not so soon delivered from their various temptations and entanglements, but are much longer wandering in a wilderness and groping in darkness. And yet, 4, there are probably some here present that are now concerned about their salvation that never will obtain. It is not to be supposed that all that are now moved and awakened will ever be savingly converted. Doubtless there are many now seeking that will not be able to enter. When it has been so in times past, when there has been times of great outpourings of God's Spirit, but that many who for a while have inquired with others what they should do to be saved have failed, and afterwards grown hard and secure. All of you that are now awakened have a mind to obtain salvation and probably hope to get a title to heaven in the time of this present moving of God's Spirit, but yet, though it be awful to be spoken and awful to be thought, we have no reason to think any other than that some of you will burn in hell to all eternity. You all are afraid of hell and seem at present disposed to take pains to be delivered from it, and yet it would be unreasonable to think any other than that some of you will have your portion in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Though there are so many that seem to obtain so easily, having been but a little while under convictions, yet, for all that, some never will obtain. Some will soon lose the sense of things they now have. Though their awakenings seem to be very considerable for the present, they will not hold. They have not hearts disposed to hold on through very many difficulties. Some that have set out for heaven and hope as much as others to obtain are indeed but slighty and slack, even now, in the midst of such a time as this. And others who for the present seem to be more in earnest will probably before long decline and fail, and gradually return to be as they were before. The convictions of some seem to be great, while that which is the occasion of their convictions is new, which when that begins to grow old will gradually decay and wear off. Thus it may be the occasion of your awakening has been the hearing of the conversion of some person or seeing so extraordinary a dispensation of providence as this in which God now appears amongst us. But by and by the newness and freshness of the things will be gone, and so will not affect your mind as now they do, and it may be your convictions will go away with it. Though this be a time wherein God doth more liberally bestow His grace, and so a time of greater advantage for obtaining it, yet there seems to be upon some accounts greater danger of backsliding than when persons are awakened at other times. For commonly such extraordinary times do not last long, and then when they cease, there are multitudes that lose their convictions, as it were, together. We speak of it as a happy thing that God is pleased to cause such a time amongst us, and so it is indeed. But there are some to whom it will be no benefit. It will be an occasion of their greater misery. They will wish they had never seen this time. It will be more tolerable for those that never saw it, or anything like it, in the day of judgment, than for them. It is an awful consideration that there are probably those here whom the great judge will hereafter call to a strict account about this very thing, why they no better improve this opportunity when he set open the fountain of his grace and so loudly called upon them and came and strove with them in particular by the awakening influences of his spirit, and that they will have no good account to give to the judge, but their mouths will be stopped, and they will stand speechless before him. You would need, therefore, to be earnest and very resolved in this affair, that you may not be one of those who shall thus fail, that you may so fight as not uncertainly, and so run as that you may win the prize. Number 5. Consider in what sad circumstances times of extraordinary effusion of God's Spirit commonly leave persons when they leave them unconverted. They find them in a doleful, because in a natural condition, but commonly leave them in a much more doleful condition. They are left dreadfully hardened and with a great increase of guilt, and their souls under a more strong dominion and possession of Satan. And frequently seasons of extraordinary advantage for salvation, when they pass over persons and they do not improve them nor receive any good in them, seal their damnation and gives them up to judicial hardness, Luke 19:41-42. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they're hid from thine eyes. Number 6. Consider that it is very uncertain whether you will ever see such another time as this. If there should be such another time, it is very uncertain whether you will live to see it. Many that are now concerned for their salvation amongst us will probably be in their graves, and it may be in hell before that time. And if you should miss this opportunity, it may be so with you. And what good will that do you to have the Spirit of God poured out upon earth in the place where you once lived, while you are tormented in hell? What would it avail you that others are crying, What shall I do to be saved? While you are shut up forever in the bottomless pit, and are wailing and gnashing your teeth in everlasting burnings. Wherefore improve this opportunity while God is pouring out His Spirit and you are on earth, and while you dwell in that place where the Spirit of God is thus poured out, and you yourself have the awakening influences of it, that you may never wail and gnash your teeth in hell, but may sing in heaven forever with others that are redeemed from amongst men and redeemed amongst us. Number 7. If you should see another such time, it will be under far greater disadvantages than now. You will probably then be much older and will have more hardened your heart, and so will be under less probability of receiving good. Some persons are so hardened in sin and so left of God that they can live through such a time as this and not be much awakened or affected by it. They can stand their ground and be but little moved. And so it may be with you by another such time, if there should be another amongst us and you should live to see it. The case in all probability will be greatly altered with you by that time. You will be much further from the kingdom of God and much deeper involved in snares and misery, and the devil will probably have a vastly greater advantage against you to tempt and confound you. Number 8. We do not know but that God is now gathering in His elect before some great and sore judgment. It has been God's manner before He casts off a visible people or brings some great and destroying judgments upon them first to gather in His elect, that they may be secure. So it was before the casting off the Jews from being God's people. there was first a very remarkable pouring out of the Spirit and gathering in of the elect by the preaching of the apostles and evangelists, as we read in the beginning of the Acts. But after this harvest and its gleanings were over, the rest were blinded and hardened. The gospel had little success amongst them, and the nation was given up and cast off from being God's people, and their city and land was destroyed by the Romans in a terrible manner. And they have been cast off by God now for a great many ages, and still remain a hardened and rejected people. So we read in the beginning of the 7th chapter of the Revelations that God went about to bring destroying judgments on the earth, first sealed his servants in the forehead. He set his seal upon the hearts of the elect, gave them the saving influences and indwelling of his Spirit, by which they were sealed to the day of redemption, Revelation 7:1-3. And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." This may be the case now that God is about in a great measure to forsake this land and give up this people, and to bring most awful and overwhelming judgments upon it, and that he is now gathering in his elect to secure them from the calamity. The state of the nation and of this land never looked so threatening as such a thing as at this day. The present aspect of things exceedingly threatens vital religion, and even those truths that are especially the foundation of it, out of this land. If it should be so, how awful will be the case with those that shall be left and not brought in, while God continues the influences of His Spirit to gather in those that are to be redeemed from amongst us, number 9. If you neglect the present opportunity and be finally unbelieving, those that are converted in this time of the pouring out of God's Spirit will rise up in judgment against you. Your neighbors, your relations, acquaintance, or companions that are converted will that day appear against you. They will not only be taken while you are left, mounting up with joy to meet the Lord in the air, at his right hand with glorious saints and angels, while you are at the left with devils, but how will they rise up in judgment against you? However friendly you have been together, and have taken pleasure in one another's company, and have often familiarly conversed together, they will then surely appear against you. They will rise up as witnesses, and will declare what a precious opportunity you had and did not improve. How you continued unbelieving and rejected the offers of a Savior, when those offers were made in so extraordinary a manner, and when so many others were prevailed upon to accept of Christ. How you were negligent and slack, and did not know the things that belonged to your peace in that your day. And not only so, but they shall be your judges, as assessors with a great judge, and as such will appear against you. They will be with the judge in passing sentence upon you, 1 Corinthians 6:2. Know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? Christ will admit them to the honor of judging the world with him. They shall sit with him in his throne, Revelation 3:21. They shall sit with Christ in the throne of government, and they shall sit with him in a throne of judgment, and shall be judges with him when you are judged, and as such shall condemn you. Number 10, and lastly, you do not know that you shall live through the present time of the pouring out of God's Spirit. You may be taken away in the midst of it, or you may be taken away in the beginning of it, as God in His providence is putting you in mind by the late instance of death in a young person in the town. God has of late been very awful in his dealings with us, and the repeated deaths of young persons amongst us. This should stir everyone up to be in the more haste to press into the kingdom of God, that ye so may be safe whenever death comes. This is a blessed season and opportunity, but you do not know how little of it you may have. You may have much less of it than others, may by death be suddenly snatched away from all advantages that are here enjoyed for the good of souls. Therefore make haste and escape for thy life. One moment's delay is dangerous, for wrath is pursuing and divine vengeance hanging over every unconverted person. Let these considerations move everyone to be improving this opportunity, that while others receive saving good and are made heirs of eternal glory, you may not be left behind in the same miserable, doleful circumstances in which you came into the world, a poor captive to sin and Satan, a lost sheep, a perishing, undone creature, sinking down into everlasting perdition, that you may not be one of those spoken of in Jeremiah 17:6, that shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good comes. If you do not improve this opportunity, remember I have told you, you will hereafter lament it. And if you do not lament it in this world, then I will leave it with you to remember it throughout a miserable eternity. Section 2. I would address myself to such as yet remain unawakened. It is an awful thing that there should be any one person remaining secure amongst us at such a time as this, but yet it is to be feared that there are some of this sort. I would here a little expostulate with such persons, number one. When do you expect that it will be more likely that you should be awakened and wrought upon than now? You are in a Christless condition, and yet without doubt intend to go to heaven, and therefore intend to be converted some time before you die. But this is not to be expected till you are first awakened, and deeply concerned about the welfare of your soul, and brought earnestly to seek God's converting grace. And when do you intend that this shall be? How do you lay things out in your own mind, or what projection have you about this matter? Is it ever so likely that a person will be awakened as at such a time as this? How do we see many who before were secure now roused out of their sleep and crying, "What shall I do to be saved?" But you are yet secure. Do you flatter yourself that it will be more likely you should be awakened when it is a dull and dead time? Do you lay matters out thus in your own mind, that though you are senseless when others are generally awakened, that yet you shall be awakened when others are generally senseless? Or do you hope to see another such time of the pouring out of God's Spirit hereafter? And do you think it will be more likely that you should be wrought upon then than now? And why do you think so? Is it because then you shall be so much older than you are now, and so that your heart will be grown softer and more tender with age? Or because you will then have stood it out so much longer against the calls of the gospel and all means of grace? Do you think it more likely that God will give you the needed influences of the Spirit then than now, because then you will have provoked him so much more, and your sin and guilt will be so much greater? And do you think it will be any benefit to you to stand it out through the present season of grace as proof against the extraordinary means of awakening there are? Do you think that this will be a good preparation for a saving work of the Spirit hereafter? Number 2. What means do you expect to be awakened by? Is to the awakening awful things of the Word of God? You have had those set before you times without number, in the most moving manner that the dispensers of the Word have been capable of. As to particular solemn warnings directed to those that are in your circumstances, you have had them frequently, and have them now from time to time. Do you expect to be awakened by awful providences? Those also you have lately had of the most awakening nature, one after another. Do you expect to be moved by the deaths of others? We have lately had repeated instances of these. There have been deaths of old and young. The year has been remarkable for the deaths of young persons in the bloom of life, and some of them very sudden deaths. Will the conversion of others move you? There is indeed scarce anything that is found to have so great a tendency to stir persons up as this. And this you have been tried with of late and frequent instances, but are hitherto proof against it. Will a general pouring out of the Spirit and seeing a concern about salvation amongst all sorts of people do it? This means you now have, but without effect. Yea, you have all these things together. You have the solemn warnings of God's Word, and awful instances of death, and the conversion of others, and see a general concern about salvation, but altogether do not move you to any great concern about your own precious, immortal, and miserable soul. Therefore, consider by what means it is that you expect ever to be awakened. You have heard that it is probable that some who are now awakened will never obtain salvation. How dark, then, does it look upon you that remain stupidly unawakened? Those who are not moved at such a time as this come to adult age, having reason to fear whether they are not given up to judicial hardness. I do not say they have reason to conclude it, but they have reason to fear it. How dark doth it look upon you that God comes and knocks at so many persons' doors and misses yours, that God has given the strivings of His Spirit so generally amongst us, while you are left senseless. Number 3. Do you expect to obtain salvation without ever seeking it? If you are sensible that there is a necessity of your seeking in order to obtaining and ever intend to seek, one would think you could not avoid it at such a time as this. Inquire, therefore, whether you intend to go to heaven living all your days a secure, negligent, careless life. Or number 4, do you think you can bear the damnation of hell? Do you imagine that you can tolerably endure the devouring fire and everlasting burnings? Do you hope that you shall be able to grapple with the vengeance of God Almighty when He girds Himself with strength and clothes Himself with wrath? Do you think to strengthen yourself against God and to be able to make your part good with Him? 1 Corinthians 10:22. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Do you flatter yourself that you shall find out ways for your ease and support, and to make it out tolerably well to bear up your spirit in those everlasting burnings that are prepared for the devil and his angels? Ezekiel 22:14. Can thine heart endure, or can thine hands be strong in the days that I shall deal with thee? It is a difficult thing to conceive what such Christless persons think that are unconcerned at such a time. Section 3. I would direct myself to them who are grown considerably into years and are yet in a natural condition. I would now take occasion earnestly to exhort you to improve this extraordinary opportunity and press into the kingdom of God. You have lost many advantages that once you had, and now have not the same advantages that others have. The case is very different with you from what it is with many of your neighbors. You, above all, had need to improve such an opportunity. Now is the time for you to bestir yourself and take the kingdom of heaven. Consider number 1. Now there seems to be a door open for old sinners. Now God is dealing forth freely to all sorts. His hand is opened wide, and He does not pass by old ones so much as He used to do. You are not under such advantages as others who are younger, but yet so wonderfully has God ordered it that now you are not destitute of great advantage. Though old in sin, God has put a new and extraordinary advantage into your hands. Oh, improve this price you have to get wisdom. you that have been long seeking to enter in at the strait gate, and yet remain without, now take your opportunity and press in. You that have been long in the wilderness, fighting with various temptations, laboring under discouragements, ready to give up the case, and have been often tempted to despair, now behold the door that God opens for you. Do not give way to discouragements now. This is not a time for it. Do not spend time in thinking that you have done what you can already, and that you are not elected, and in giving way to other perplexing, weakening, disheartening temptations. Do not waste away this precious opportunity in such a manner. You have no time to spare for such things as these. God calls you now to something else. Improve this time in seeking and striving for salvation, and not in that which tends to hinder it. It is no time now for you to stand talking with the devil. But hearken to God and apply yourself to that which He does now so loudly call you to. It is a great deal more likely with respect to such persons than others that this is their last time. There will be a last time, a special offer of salvation to impenitent sinners. God's Spirit shall not always strive with man. Genesis 6:3. God sometimes continues long knocking at the doors of wicked men's hearts, but there are the last knocks and the last calls that ever they shall have. And sometimes God's last calls are the loudest, and then if sinners do not hearken, He finally leaves them. How long has God been knocking at many of your doors that are old in sin? It is a great deal more likely that these are His last knocks. You have resisted God's Spirit in times past and have hardened your heart once and again, but God will not be thus dealt with always. There is danger that if now, after so long a time, you will not hearken, He will utterly desert you and leave you to walk in your own counsels. Pressing into the kingdom of God. Jonathan Edwards.
This Reformation audio track is a production of Stillwater's Revival Books. SWRB makes thousands of classic Reformation resources available, free and for sale, in audio, video, and printed formats. Our many free resources, as well as our complete mail order catalog, containing thousands of classic and contemporary Puritan and Reform books, tapes, and videos at great discounts, is on the web at www.swrb.com. We can also be reached by email at swrb@swrb.com, by phone at 780-450-3730, by fax at 780-468-1096, or by mail at 4710-37A Avenue, Edmonton, that's Edmonton, Alberta, abbreviated capital A, capital B, Canada, T6L3T5. You may also request a free printed catalog. And remember that John Calvin, in defending the Reformation's regulative principle of worship, or what is sometimes called the scriptural law of worship, commenting on the words of God, "which I commanded them not, neither came into my heart," from his commentary on Jeremiah 7:31, writes, "God here cuts off from men every occasion for making evasions, since he condemns by this one phrase, 'I have not commanded them,' whatever the Jews devised. There is then no other argument needed to condemn superstitions than that they are not commanded by God. For when men allow themselves to worship God according to their own fancies, and attend not to his commands, they pervert true religion. And if this principle was adopted by the papists, all those fictitious modes of worship in which they absurdly exercise themselves would fall to the ground. It is indeed a horrible thing for the papists to seek to discharge their duties towards God by performing their own superstitions. There is an immense number of them, as it is well known, and as it manifestly appears. Were they to admit this principle, that we cannot rightly worship God except by obeying His word, they would be delivered from their deep abyss of error. The prophet's words, then, are very important, when he says that God had commanded no such thing, and that it never came to his mind, as though he had said that men assume too much wisdom when they devise what he never required, nay, what he never knew.